And you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. This song is called, believe it or not, the Sunflower Song. I have no idea why I named it the Sunflower Song. I just visualized a sunflower. I was doing. It feels like a sunflower sort of bouncing, and I guess the sunflowers don't bounce. See, so I don't know why. Maybe I should call it something else, right? Anyway, so this is Andy Lopez. Like I said, I'm better known as the Invisible Gardener. And today's show is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. I'm supposed to say this. Let me help you work with Mother Nature instead of against her. I should say that because that's kind of very clever. Oh, nothing happening here. Oh, I see. Wait a second. Oh, so there's a lot going on today. You know, it's a live month, so we're talking about the soil. And this is the last week of the last Saturday of the month. And so I'll be continuing my talk about the soil. I have a whole bunch of things I'm going to try to go over with you in this short period of time. I'm going to play this first.
Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen or you can call in and talk directly to the Invisible Gardener right here on bbsradio.com/Don't Panic, It's Organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/Don't Panic, It's Organic.
Isn't that nice? I'm going to try to do more of those because I like it. So let's see. Today's show, first of all, I want to say thank you for everybody that's been signing up for the newsletters. At the same time, they've been entering the contest. So this is the contest will be up February 28th. And they'll announce the winner next Saturday. So the first Saturday every month, I announce the winners. And to make sure that when you do the newsletter, you put a physical address. And some people have asked me, why do you have to do a physical address if it's just a newsletter? You know, it's a website thing, membership, whatever. It's, you know, you don't have to, you just do it through email. Well, because if you win the contest, I have to send you something, see? So I want you, I need your address. Otherwise, if you don't do it, it's okay because I'll send you an email saying you won, I need your address. Either way, I have to get an address eventually. So, because the last time a person who won the contest, I sent them, I said, I need your address. And I've asked him several times already. So I haven't, he hasn't gotten back to me with your address. So, and I don't have your name off the bat here as to who it was that won this past month contest. But I believe it was in California. I'm not really sure enough, but I don't remember half of this stuff anymore, you know. And I don't really have it written down in an easy accessible place. So make sure that when you're into the contest, and the only way you can enter the contest is to get my newsletter. In the newsletter, there's a link that you click on, which opens up your email and automatically fills it in for you. You know, the subject line will say that don't panic, it's organic contest, enter me in contest, and the subject will say enter me in this particular month. In this case, this is February's 2019's contest. And I will win. And it tells you what you win, because every month is going to be slightly different. Like this month, the winner, besides getting the lifetime membership, the winner will get the printed version of the book. And there's two versions, the color version and the black and white version. The color version is not really available in stores. You can get it through me, and it's very limited edition. And it's $100. And the reason for that, as I said, it's a color version. So each chapter has an amazing piece of artwork that my daughter-in-law did. And so the color alone costs a lot to print. So it's kind of like a special edition that you have and you take care of it. So that's why I also include the black and white version, which sells for $20. And that one you can destroy if you want to, because people tend to really use my books and they carry it around right on it, do all kinds of stuff, you know, destroy it. I destroy many of my books myself just using them regularly. After a while, well, I'll get another one. Since I'm the author, I have plenty of them lying around. And they're all pretty much destroyed too, except for a few copies. And those are just almost destroyed as well. What is this I put in my pocket over here? Okay, so let's see. So next month is going to be Rock Dust Month. Okay, so that's March. I'm working on lining up some guests as well for March. I know that it's not doesn't give you enough time to get a guest on, so when I do it for next month, I'm also going to line them up for the next Rock Dust month. And one of the things about doing this is set up in a monthly basis, you know, because I told you what I was going to do for each month. I gave like a little list as to what I'm going to do when, you know. I set it up that way, but what happens is that I eventually, you know, let things grow organically, so to speak. And sometimes I have it once or twice a year, I do Rock Dust, right? Once or twice a year, I'll do the soil, because it's alive. Once or twice a year, I will do a trees. It's a trees. And a couple of times a year, I will do. I'm trying to figure out where I did put my list here of what my shows were going to be for the year. But at any rate, what happens is I tend to just go with the flow, so to speak. Because sometimes I want to keep going on a certain subject, like the whole thing with the soil. I really could talk a lot about it almost all the time. Since I have a show on nothing but the soil. So I don't have it here with me. So next month we're going to do Rock Dust. I'm going to talk about it for a while for the whole month of March, and I'm also going to set up another Rock Dust talk down the road before the year is up. And so that way I'll be able to get my, because when I have people, when I am on other people's, when people invite me to be on as a guest in their show, I kind of like have a little bit more notice in the month, you know, in order to be able to do it, because it's serious and you have to be there to do it. And so I want to give them time. So I'm going to do it, and I already have a few people in mind that I'm going to invite and see if I can get them on starting to come next week or the week, you know, anytime in March, Saturdays. Plus, I'm also going to make it so that if they can't come on a Saturday, maybe I can interview them and tape it and play it that way, do it that way. So, let's see. So, on today's show, I'm going to be talking, continuing my talk about the soil, the microbial life in the soil, and how important it is to understand how the soil is the key to everything. I've been doing this business since 1970. And one of the things that's, you know, that I don't know if I'm really that radically different than people. Yes, you are. No, shut up. Okay, all right. I'm not talking to you. Oh, sorry. What's going on over there anyway? Gee whiz. But I didn't follow the way it was being done, in the sense that, you know, you have a bug. If the tree has a disease or a bug, you have to spray it with something, right? I never really went for that, because I was always, I feel that the bugs have equal rights too. and so I would say, well, if I could talk to the bug, right, I would say, well, excuse me, what are you doing? And the bug would say, well, go away, I'm not talking to you. But, you know, eventually I'll get him to talk to her. Yeah, I'm building my nest here. I'm this is food, and whatever the reason is that they're there, right? Something attracts them there to do that, whatever they're doing, right? And in terms of diseases, pests quite often are vectors for different diseases, and the different diseases are coincide with different types of pests. So as they evolve, these work together. So a certain type of beetle will bring a certain type of disease to a certain type of trees. It's very, very specific. I have to blow my nose. Now look at this. Okay. So I thought it was very, very clever of Mother Nature, the way she has it set up. And so if you look at all different types of diseases that are happening to trees, for example, because, you know, everything that I talk about in terms of trees and diseases and pests can also be applied to humans, to animals, everything that's living. Because if you remember what I said last time, we all have evolved from this this fungi, right? We are at different stages of evolution, right? But we all can trace our tree back to its, not even its roots, because it's the basic, you know, core of the tree, right? And, you know, we can follow down the tree. I talked about the tree of life setup, you know, the way you have the tree and everything evolves, and it goes back down to this primordial people, you know, beings. And that's the fungi that we evolved from. And we have taken all the best of each of all these things that the fungi is using and using in ourselves, and yet we're mobile, right? We move around instead of being a tree that you can't get around, right? But and the resemblance in the way it works is all the same. As I was talking about the cosmics, the cosmos, right? The energy of the universe, in the sense of when you look at another solar system, through our telescopes, or whether you do it on the computer, you'll see the image of that galaxy, or of that solar system, or of that nebula. But if you were to really look at it, it depends on how you look at it too, because it's the same thing with the bugs, for example, in terms of how they see things and how we see things, and what range we can see with our eyes as opposed to what range the insects can see, or other beings can see, or other insects can see, or how birds see, or how, right? So, a lot has to do with my understanding when I reached and through all my years of doing this thing. I go, well, there's like a fractal. I discovered fractals a long time ago. And if you look at a fractal, F-R-A-C-T-A-L, fractal. It's also really, a fractal is a mathematical formula, right? Okay, it's actually a formula. You can enter that into a computer. The computer will start producing fractals depending upon the variation that you input it into. But basically, if you're no, if you looked at a really movie of a fractal and you see a picture of something and then they look in closer and then closer and you can see the same picture and it keeps zooming so closer and you have the same view, the same thing. Only difference is it's smaller and smaller, but as you get smaller, it's the same thing. And if you go the other way, if you get look for the bigger and bigger, it's the same thing. So that's what's going on with this, with the mycelium setup. Part of the, you know, what I, my question that I asked myself is that, well, is the is the mycelium imitating the universe, right, in terms of the form, the shape it takes? Because that's what the mycelium is. It's a nebulous interacting form, and it functions in a lot of different ways, not just in terms of physical ways. People are starting to understand that there is something that connects the universe, right, between galaxies and space. And scientists are starting to figure out maybe information is stored there. Information is transferred from one to the other, and how the whole thing is connected and the web. You know, and the, I call the mycelium the web of life. I call it the web of the internet, right? The web of nature, because that's the. I get that wrong too. It's the internet of nature, okay? Because it's the web, the way everything is interconnected, and we're going to finding out not just that the mycelium the holds a core. They're doing all kinds of construction today. I guess it gets warmer, so they're going to do more out there. So you have to listen to the noise. But it's... Oh, great. Now everybody else is calling me now, too, today. I wonder if I could just turn it off. You know. Sorry, I didn't know I had to turn off the cell phone. Somebody's calling me at this time. Nobody, I don't know who they are. You know, I'm just going to turn it off. Here we go. I'm turning it off right now. It's like getting your phone going off while you're at church or something, right? Now it's not even working right. Yes, sir. Okay, so now it's turned off. Yeah, sorry. So I've learned that there's a definite relationship, and I think that the mycelium as evolves, just like human beings and everything else evolves on this, on the, in the galaxies and in the universe, throughout the universe, the energies of the galaxies affects how we're shaped and how form takes. So in essence, we are, you know, we're images. We're a fractal. We're part of that fractal and the bigger overall little fractals or the big fractals, right? And the fact that there is communication going back between all of them. And so the mycelium is a very interesting being that has a, because we have evolved from that. We have now we have a connection. There's a connection and we have a way to communicate, not just with the small, with the mycelium of the earth, but with the energy of the universe, right? There's we have a way to communicate with them now. And so, but in terms of how the mycelium works on the earth, and what the importance of the mycelium is in how life is created on the earth, how life came to be and how life continues, is the mycelium. The mycelium is a very important aspect of all of this. And I'm always fascinated in the fact that it doesn't seem to get across to professionals, whether they're doctors or whether they're arborists or whether they're farmers, right, or gardeners, that relationship. See what I'm saying, you know? And as a gardener or a farmer or arborist, a person that works on trees and all this, you would think that you would pay attention to this, the one single most important thing that they have to figure out, and that's the soil. Everything, even if it's not growing on the soil, is affected by the soil. Because as a bird, does that mean that bird is not affected by the soil? This bird eats what grows out of the soil. human beings, because we're not connected. Does that mean we're not affected by the soil? We eat whatever comes from the soil, whether we eat cattle, right, whether we eat other birds or other creatures, or whether we eat vegetables. Duh. And that's one of the issues that's coming up now in terms of the hydroponic revolution, since the hydroponic people want to be included in certified organic. The certified organic people say, no, you can't do it if you don't have soil. The whole thing about being certified organic is the health of the soil. And so there's an issue there, you know, because hydroponics is not organic. It's basically chemicals in a liquid form, and they're going to argue the chemicals are the same. Nitrogen is nitrogen, calcium and magnesium, all these things. They could be, yeah. You have to really look at it more and see, well, you know, it all comes down to these minerals. It all comes down to these things. And yeah, it doesn't make any difference except that how we get it into our body. So if we have vegetables that are grown hydroponically with all the trace minerals and everything it needs in there, and you're eating it, well, it'd be very difficult to say that it's not good for you. You'd not be using the chemicals or spraying or any of that stuff. And that's why they want to be organic. But the stuff that it, unless, of course, the stuff that they're using is from organic sources, right, that they somehow make from organic natural sources. And the word organic is very misleading, too, because chemicals are – minerals are not organic. Minerals are minerals, inorganic. And so the word organic is also misleading down the road, too, because I've always told people it's not my fault that organic gardening people did such a good job, and now it's organic, right? It should have been natural gardening. Because a lot of people in the chemical business said, well, malathion is organic. Lots of things are organic. You know, and they're referring to that the term in science, in the chemistry, that organic compounds are made. Lots of different things have organic compounds in them. Many pesticides have organic compounds in them, you know. And so I didn't make up the terminology, but that's the way it is in the business world, in the professional world. They tend to say this is organic. And when we talk about organic, we really mean natural products, natural things that are grown organically. But again, see, organic and natural to me should mean the same, and yet they're not. So, but all I've been trying to do throughout the years of doing my business and doing this radio show, because I've been doing this radio show in one form or another. Well, I started, I guess it doesn't count the show that I did in the service, KNDY, which, by the way, I'm getting a flag that I should do this. Really like these songs. I do one of these pretty much well, definitely every day. I was gonna say more than one. I'm working on, for example, I like to do four of them at the same time. Okay, so right now I'm working on four songs pretty much at the same time, because it helps my brain to function. If you see what I mean. There's another one I'm working on. It's called Web of Attraction. So anyway, I will be playing some of these on my show coming up, The Cosmic Spaceship. I want to be experimenting with it, with that, and see what happens. I might even create some songs live as we speak through the energy of what the people, want. And then I have lots of songs that I can be going through. So usually what I'll do is I'll start off with something I've written, and then I'm also going to go back and play something that I've written. That I've created in the past. Okay, so from what I'm doing with you here is I'm explaining to you the something that it took me a long, long time to get to. Therefore, you can start from there. You see what I'm saying? And if you get that, those aspects of this thing, it'll save you a lot of trouble. And then you can learn how to expand, how to make that work. Because if you use that information in terms of why do bugs attack a tree in the first place? Why does it get a disease in the first place? Right? What is it that's really going on? And how can I prevent that from happening in the first place? Because that's what I like to think that I teach is people being proactive rather than reactive, right? Reactive is really good for business. Just keep spraying, keep spraying, keep spraying. Buy more stuff, keep spraying, buy more stuff, keep spraying. Even in the health, take these pills and you'll be fine. Eat whatever you want, take these pills and you'll be fine. Eat whatever you want, just go have a good time, eat junk food, whatever, don't care. Take these pills and you'll be fine. That doesn't work that way. It's good for business. Not really good if you want to be sustainable in any way whatsoever, other than that business model, right? So what I do and the way it works for me in my business is that people come to me who are basically saying, I would like this whole place to be sustainable. I would like this whole place to be healthy. I don't want to use any chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, whatever else. I'm lucky enough to have you in my environment, and I'll pay you whatever you want. Hey, folks, I'm here to do the services. At the same time, so that's cool. That's what I do in my business. I go to people's properties. I work on their palms or whatever. By doing that means I provide to the soil. I start working on the soil. And I do foliar sprays where I spray the leaves of the trees, spray the leaves of the palms because they absorb it through their leaves. The main thing that I teach people is, okay, so there's a law of cause and effect. And so it always comes down to the same thing in terms of dealing with people, you know, human beings and what happens, and the same thing with trees. It's always the same cause in the very bottom line there that causes everything else to happen. It's always the same. So isn't it logical to go to deal with that one single thing that's always the cause of everything? You get that under control, you don't have any other problems. Trust me. Now, let's see. What was I talking about? It's a weird one, ain't it? Maybe I should go see a doctor or something. This is called Show Me the Truth. Lately, I've been doing these really long pieces. This is only 5 minutes. That's pretty good. Lately, I've been doing them. They're like 20 minutes or so. Or I can't help it because it's really fun to do this stuff. But it all has to do with frequencies, and it has to do with energy. And that's one of the things that I deal with in this law of cause and effect, and how do you heal? So you have this. So basically what happens is you have the soil. When I talk about the soil being alive, I literally mean that. I mean there's a being in the soil that needs to be taken care of. And that being is not functioning and doing its thing. We need to heal it, like, right away. But you can't heal something. Like, if you cut yourself, you need to do the things and let it heal up. And it takes a while to build everything back up and put it all back together. So it's the same thing with trees. It's the same thing with the soil. And so I found that, The real underlying cause is when you do not get, or we, or the plant does not get the minerals that it needs. It needs 96 different trace minerals. You cut that off in any form or shape, you're going to be in trouble down the road. The function, the job, I was going to say the job, I don't know if that's really the job of the soil, because it's not getting, I suppose it's getting paid for it. But the function of the soil, the function of the mycelium, is the distribution of these minerals in a form that the plants can eat it, can absorb it and use it. So the function of the mycelium is to provide all these trace minerals to the soil, through the soil, to the plants, right? See, and it depends about, and then that's, as the plants eat it, the plants get eaten. There are other things, there are other ways to get this mineral distributed out amongst all the living things, whether they be birds, whether they be insects, right? Whether it be humans, whether it be animals. Those are the things we need, and it's the same thing with us. If we interrupt our intake of these trace minerals, we're setting ourselves for trouble down the road. And that's why it's important, the stomach, the health of the stomach, the food that we eat, and so forth, as for how we are getting these minerals. It's the same thing with the trees and the plants and everything that grows from the insects, the birds. They all need to get these same minerals. And if they lack them, they too will have a variety of different problems. In other words, they will not be healthy. See? And so to me, and then, by the way, the music and the sound and the frequencies is an important form of healing, because that's, the frequency is a major source of how energy is transferred between one part and another. Energy is not created nor destroyed, but it can be transferred. And then the fact that scientists are saying information can be transferred too. Yeah, duh. And you'll find that using frequencies as a way to transfer minerals and how to transfer, just for example, you can use sound, right? You can use sound to relieve stress. So remember, I tell people the greater the stress, the greater the pest. Right? And so, here we go. Okay. This one is called Island Dance. It's the one I'm working on. I haven't really done anything today. There are a few songs I'm working on. This particular one I'm just doing as we speak, pretty much. Sometimes I'm talking to you and I'm over there doing my thing too, whatever. It's multitasking. But one of the things I've learned is that I have to when somebody calls me and they have a sick tree, for example, you know, so I always deal with the law of cause and effect, and then I also work on long-terms and short-terms solutions. Because when you deal with the cause, this is a long-term solution. You have to deal with what the underlying problem is and fix that. As soon as possible, that has to get fixed. But quite often, it's nothing you can just do overnight. It's going to take a while to fix it. So you have to do something that right away to minimize the damage. Again, like in the human body, same thing. So I started doing, I started to look into different ways or reasons, you know, how the minerals got to the plants. And the obvious way is, you know, if you're looking at soils, what's going on there, you know, in terms of, well, not people, but in the old days when you have lots of creatures and animals running all over the place, a billion trillion birds, a trillion animals, just think of the buffaloes alone. when there was a massive amounts of herds of billions and billions, or it could have been, you know, a herd size running all over North America, or all the types of creatures, herds of other creatures. And was, you think about it, you realize, yeah, there was lots of animals running all over the place, and birds and all kinds of stuff happening. And so they poo-pooed, right? They eat the stuff and recycle it, poo-poo it out, right? Or they would die, right? And get their minerals from their bones and their whatever else back into the soil, right? Think about it. It's just birds eating stuff, flying over, poo-pooing everywhere and dying and doing all this stuff. You'll see the recycling action over a plate happening. So that's how, and so the whole key is the ability of the fungi to eat the minerals. And that's the whole key to it, because you and I cannot eat minerals. Even our stomach hasn't evolved that much to go through the minerals. You think we would have evolved to the point where we develop these stomachs, they just dump some rocks in there, chew it, and you let the stomach digest it? No, we evolved from, we said basically, okay, we're going to leave the soil to what it does best. It's going to do the minerals. We're going to eat this. We're going to eat that plant, eat this animal. We'll get our minerals from it. So we're not going to make our stomach go that route. But we're going to take our stomach and help it, whatever the soil gives us, we're going to make sure we can digest that. See what I'm saying, right? Don't you just love this? I love this, man. This is great. Let's see, before I forget, I have to do this one more little thing here somewhere. I don't know where it's at, but I'll figure it out. Okay, here go. I think I'm doing it right. Sooner or later, I'm going to have like a real studio, right? No, real studio.
Whenever I come to Earth, I listen to BBSradio.com.
I love that. Isn't that great? Yep. Okay, so am I doing this right? Let's see, my voice is here.
Contact. This is Commander speaking.
I forgot to mention, and I apologize for you guys. I'm just recovering now from getting more dental surgery. I figured out a legal way to have people come and inject stuff into my brain. That's just have them do dental surgery on you, right? But if you you want to call and talk to me, I'm happy to talk to you, because that's what it's really all about. I think there's a couple of people that I was talking that I was supposed to do this week. And again, I spaced it out a little bit because I just had this dental surgery done. And I was just now feeling my head. I was just, yesterday, I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't feel my jaw. It's funny when you touch your head and you go, I know I'm touching it, but I don't feel anything. And my lower jaw is still really sore. And this person was going to call me and talk to me, because I remember now, and maybe I should cover it. I don't know if I did it last time or not. What I did last time in terms of if I answer this person. But I'm going to go ahead and cover it, because I think I'm now remembering. But if you wanted to call and talk to me, there are several different ways you could do that. If you're listening to the shows and you're already there, you know how to contact us on this show. You know how to contact us on BBS Radio, okay? I'm not going to, if you don't know, there's a real simple ways to, rather than having to, because people say, well, how do I can't really write down the name while I'm driving or listening to it in my podcast, that kind of stuff. But, it's available on bbsradio.com/organic. Don't panic, it's organic. It's also available on my website, invisiblegardener.com. Click on radio show. You see all the information right there on what numbers to call, how to get a hold of us through Skype, which is BBS Radio PR, by the way, since we use Skype here. Hopefully down the road, we're going to be, switching over to doing some live video streaming for the show. So you can still call Skype. Let's just turn on your camera, and we can see each other and have a good time. That's coming up down the road. I forgot to do that. I was talking about it, and I just spaced it out again. The 800 number is 888-627-6008, okay? There's also a direct line, 323-444-4831. I think it's 944-4831, okay? Of course, one of the easiest way is to just email me your questions. And the easiest way to make sure that I get those emails is to go to the website and click on, if you did the news, I would do two things on there. Do the newsletter, and that way you get the information on the radio show, what's going on, and how to get into the contest, and what specials we have. You have access to my blog. But to enter the contest, what I'm doing when you do the newsletter, I'll get an email saying this person signed up. So I have it down now. So when the first time it comes that you do a newsletter, I'll put that into the contest. So you're going to be entered in the contest for that month. And then if you want to enter the contest on a regular basis, you'll have the newsletter. And the newsletter will say, click here to enter the contest. And that way you have to enter the contest every month. It's going to be a little different. So that's why I've set it up. It's kind of a little bit automatic to enter the contest. But if you have a question that's a little bit different, because you don't send a question through the newsletter, see? You only get the newsletter to help you enter the contest and read the newsletter and stuff like that. But if you have a question that has to do with this thing or a question you want me to talk about, you have to send me email, right? And the easiest way is there's another section called inquiry. See, people want to send me email directly. The main problem is I have to then sort you out from the general public and junk email and find it. And if I don't find it, I can't get at it. Next day is another more email. And so it has to go in a box, and I tell my computer, anything comes from this thing goes there. See, so on my website, I have an inquiry. Inquiry, it means, hi, I want to know about this. I have a question, right? Fill that out and say, I listen to you on the radio show. I want to, I have this question. And then that goes in a box, and I will answer it. I email you back saying, I got your question. I'll answer you on my show. And what I also tend to do is I do a blog on it and include it in my on my website, and it'll be in the newsletter. And if you want to talk to me about it on a particular date, I have a question, I would like to know about this, and I say, well, you're welcome to, because you're always welcome to go on the show. And we make a date. So you basically call the engineer on Skype, and he will let you pipe you through. And then we talk about the problem. I don't give you last names, but I'll get your first name and where, city and state you live in. And that's all we need, let's see. We still got a little bit of time left. I just want to say thank you all for signing up for the newsletter. I've gotten a few questions. One I asked that I already took last week, and the one that this person wants to know about, and I'm going to go ahead and just talk about it briefly, was she has a path, and the path has weeds are coming up because of the recent rains that we've had. And what should you do about that, about weeds coming up on your path that she has? Bark, wood chips, and wood chips, not wood chips, they're redwood bark, okay? They come in different sizes, so she bought, I think, the small, and the weeds are coming out through that, and how can she deal with that? And so I answered her back that there are short-term and long-term solutions. The short-term is to basically you just pull them up as you go. That takes care of the problem almost right away. But there's a lot of them, and you have to do that on a regular basis. After a while, you gave up. You go, I can't keep it up. Good exercise. There are obvious things you can spray on there. It depends upon, if it's on a path, nothing else is being used. But you also have to be careful of doing damage in the long run to try to come up. That's why they, you know, you have this Roundup and all these other chemicals that people spray, and it's, people are lazy, and you know, and it doesn't help the soil in the long run at all. And so, but what I would say is, yes, there are some things you can use to spray on it. For example, vinegar will kill the weeds, so you can use vinegar. You want to learn the strength. The 100% strong, you know, using it straight, that's very strong. That definitely will do it. But you don't need to use that as do that as strong. I think you'll find that if you take, let's see, a tenth. So one. So if you have a cup of vinegar, then you need 10 cups, 9 cups of vinegar. So you make one tenth of, right. So if you have a tenth of a gallon, right, you know. So it's, so if you have 4 cups to a gallon, and you, if you wanted to do a tenth, you would probably have to do an eight. At least an eighth of it, right, of a cup. A half a cup would be 8, right? See? And so you want a tenth, 10% of vinegar to water. And that's a good, reasonable strength. The strength will depend upon the weeds that you're talking about. And if you do it long enough, nothing will grow in that particular area because the vinegar will acidify the soil and damage the soil. And so that's why you don't want to really be spraying that or any other thing else, because there are lots of other things you can use to control the to kill the weeds, right? All of which, if added over time, would destroy the soil. So there's a underlying solution, which is a long-term solution, and you have to understand why the weeds are growing there in the first place. The weeds grow in mineral-deficient soils. Again, we go back to the minerals. If the mycelium is totally functioning underneath there, the weeds will not be popping up. Okay, the mycelium acts as an inhibitor for various different types of weeds because they're not going to grow there because the weeds know that everything's fine here. The job of the weeds is to bring up the minerals. So you can tell what type of minerals is deficient by the weeds that are growing. Not that hard to do, because that's the job of the weeds. We call them weeds, but which to many people means bad, but it's not. These are different plants that will grow there or wherever if the conditions are right. That would be that particular mineral is deficient, whether it's iron. You know, there are many plants, that's what they do. They pull up iron, then when they die, they take the iron is, you know, brought back to the top of the soil. So they all have different things that they, and that's a basic principle in terms of herbology, in terms of using herbs for healing and using herbs for food and stuff like that. These things are, this is what these do. And they're not called weeds, they have names. So tons and tons of different plants all over the place, whether it be native or whatever, that's what they're really good at. See, bring it up. That's one of the things that's really interesting about vegetables, right? You know? And vegetables, if you trace them back, they were basically considered weeds at one time. These things were considered weeds, or that a weed, or this a weed. And reason why we like them now is because they up their mineral, trace mineral that they carry. And now we call them dense food, because when we say dense food, we're really saying they have a lot of minerals in there, hey, right? But what's interesting, too, is that, okay, so you're going to grow vegetables in the soil, but you have to have a trace mineral deficient in order for the weeds to grow, because the weeds won't grow in minerally rich soil, right? So the whole thing has been changed so that we're going to have weeds growing in minerally rich soil, and that's going to be, and the weeds are absorbing the minerals in the soil, and you're going to eat the cold weeds, see? Right? So the health, that's a part of how you can manipulate genetics and in terms of, because, you know, I talk a lot about genetically modified, genetically engineered organisms. And one of my columns I wrote is that so there are some good GMOs and some bad GMOs. Genetically modified organism is just a title for a group of ways that genetically modification is happening. And the genetically engineered is one of them that we need to control. That's the one that has a Roundup in it. Has around the one that Monsanto has been using for all kinds of interesting experiments that they're doing in terms of weed control, in terms of herbicide control and stuff like that. How can we expand our business? The other two methods, people don't understand it or know it as well. One of them is where you take the DNA of the gene and you expose it to radiation, and then the result is the gene that you work with, and that doesn't really sound very good either, like a really good deal. And they wanted to do that to radiate, strawberries and other plants like that, and then the gene that they'll produce, that's the one they would be using on their plants and stuff, and they can't get away with that. And the other method is what we've been doing for centuries, using normal genetic modifications throughout our growing season, our growing life, to make tomatoes tastier, or whatever vegetables to plant, or fruit trees healthier, so forth, right? That's a normal way of doing things. You and I are not clones of our family, of my parents. We are a genetically modified version of our family. So it's like our children would be genetically modified version of me. And when I grow tomatoes, I have a whole bunch of tomato plants. And usually what happens, people will say, that plant over there is amazing. That tomato is absolutely amazing. Well, guess what? I would take that tomato plant, take the seeds, and grow it again. The following year, they would say, well, that tomato is amazing. Absolutely. They're all good, but that one over there, you take down, you grow. And guess what? You're genetically modifying the organism. Almost anything in the store you buy now has been genetically modified in that way. There's nothing absolutely wrong with that. And that's one of the things that lawyers have learned to say, look, we've been doing this forever. What's the problem here? It's all safe. So you have to be very clear in the language, right? And even genetically engineered can be good if it's in the hands of the right type of the scientists that are working for the benefit of human race, not for the benefit of the company, of the bottom line. Imagine if they were doing genetically engineered corn that can handle the cold and the heat, that didn't need any fertilization whatsoever, and yet produce rich nutrition, corn rich in nutrition. Duh, right? Genetically engineered corn now, it's not anything like that. You need to use lots of pesticides, lots of fungicides, lots of fertilizer, and the food is crap. The corn has nothing in it. No nutrition, because it doesn't work based upon how the soil works. It's based upon the chemicals. The chemicals kill the soil. Remember that. Anyway, let's see. Okay, so let's see. So my show is coming up next, called The Cosmic Spaceship. And I'm in my latest book, I try to cover this subject, and it's called Don't Panic Is Organic. By the way, I'm working on, I think I'm trying to figure out how to do classical. How's that? Isn't that interesting? It's just fascinating by all the way sounds and stuff get together. And that's what I was talking about in terms of using it for healing, because the music that I write, I call it inner gardening. What I try to do is I associate a certain frequency with a certain, like if you're talking about the human body, for example, there is a certain frequency corresponding with each organ in your body. It's a certain frequency corresponding. Each light has a certain frequency. Each color has a certain frequency that corresponds, not just the color, but the certain frequency of sound. And I also found out that all minerals have certain frequencies that correspond with them, and that if you learn how to use the frequency that corresponds with the minerals, the minerals will get transferred, the information will get transferred through the frequency, through the waves of how sound travels into your body, or whether it be through your ear, through your nose, your eyes, lots of different ways that your body will be listening to it. The lots of different organs in your body, it's, or lots of different energy centers in your body, just like there is in the soil. One of the things I've learned a long time ago, because when I was talking about how energy travels throughout your body and how it follows these meridians in your body, how it follows these, the path of energy flows through your body. There's 108 different chakras, for example. People only know about the eight chakras, the seven chakras, the eighth chakra, the crown chakra. But there's 108 chakras. By chakras, I mean the little energy vortex, how the energy is transmitted from one part of the body to the other one. You don't think there's a wire physically connecting you. No, there's a places that the energy has to jump. There's little synapses. There's nothing in between them. It goes, jumps right across. And if you look at a nebulous, you'll see how that nebulous works. It's not like one strand, one string. As a matter of fact, string theory, I'll be happy to talk to you about that sometime, how universes are interlapped. So the frequency carries the minerals, but also, so your body will be getting this frequency, i.e. will be getting this mineral that's missing. And also, too, the frequency, by reestablishing the path, the connection, the way energy travels. And so so I've learned that that's why I call it inner gardening music, because there's as a dual meaning to it in terms of it affects your body. And the way it affects your body is that it allows that those energy centers, because that's what happens, is they get blocked and the energy doesn't flow through and it stops at a certain place and it tries different routes. Your brain has a way to get the energy. It's going to get it one way or the other, but it would be better if it worked the way it's supposed to work. The brain, basically two parts of your brain are supposed to be working together, but nowadays you have one part is working, the other part is not working, and they're not working in harmony with each other. Okay, so same thing with the soil and the trees. And so what I do is I learn to, that's why I play the music. The music has basically to do with, rather than you just listening to the particular frequency or the sound, right? I've learned that it's much easier if I can hide the frequency and the sound within the music. And so I do something like this. So in this sound here, I basically have a certain frequency that I play, but you can't hear it through your ears. But you do hear it, if you want to call it hearing it, because you know your skin hear, does your organ hear, does your hair hear, does your genes hear, does your DNA hearing? I think so. That's why I tell people wear headphones. So, what I've learned to do is two things. I've learned to, well, more than two things. You know, I guess I learned a few things, but in terms of, time is going to be up soon. So I learned a lot of different things. Yeah, and my job here is to help you to understand what they are in a fun way, right? I will answer your question. I will help you with it. And that way you can say, gee, that was easy to figure out, right? Otherwise, it's going to take you your lifetime to understand how to make plants healthy, how to deal with insects, how to deal with bugs, how to deal with diseases. Remember, it's better to be proactive than reactive. So it's better to have a happy, healthy soil. So don't use any chemicals in your body that you wouldn't use. So I was going to say, don't use any chemicals in the soil that you wouldn't use in your body. So I wouldn't spray malathion out there. I would definitely not spray myself with malathion. I wouldn't use Roundup. Why would you eat Roundup? anything you want to do in your body, you need to make sure it's supposed to go in there. It's just like it's supposed to go in the soil. Any chemical fertilizer, fungicide, herbicide, anything is going to be killing the soil. You damage the soil, you're damaging yourself. It's as simple as you can't be healthy if you don't have healthy soil, healthy environment. Okay? And one of the things I wrote is how to kill all living beings on the planet within 100 years. 10 ways. And those 10 ways correspond to 10 environmental boundaries you're not supposed to cross. I think there's 11 because it's actually 10 because the soil is one of them. You know, it's one of the 10 environmental boundaries you're not supposed to cross. By crossing, I mean pollute the heck out of it, right? So it doesn't work. Kill it so it doesn't work. So anyway, you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Please visit my website, InvisibleGardener.com. If you feel like you have the urge to give me money, join. Sign up. It's $55 for a lifetime. You get my $20 book, Don't Panic, It's Organic, and you get the rest of my books in e-form. Plus, you get access to Invisible Gardener website, member site. You get over 21 of my e-books. And a way to talk to me directly. I'm happy to help you. I charge for my time, but that's what I'm here for. So thank you very much. I think that the show is going to be over with soon. I'm not looking at the. I must have lost the 1 minute. I guess time is up. You know.